Strong words, yeah.
That's Tilly. I'm quoting Tilly.
Oh, wow. Impressive.
She thought I was just saying that.
Yeah. I thought you were being disparaging about it.
Hello, podcasters. As Kim says, let's not keep you assholes waiting.
Captain Tilly.
Captain Tilly. Or Captain Killy, as the writer's room came up with.
Yeah. And they're like, let's throw it in.
let's make a thing out of it. All right. We are broadcasting live to no one, but
on not the Feral Audio Network anymore.
On the non-Feral Audio Network, I believe it's going away at the end of this month. But hello, everyone. My name is Mike McCafferty, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. No, you stop. Stop. Hold on.
Full
I'm
hold.
trying to pick up your cues.
I'm Mike McCafferty. I'm joined by
Jason McCarris,
who's in studio with me tonight.
Oh.
Yay.
And far away, but so close to our hearts, is
too late. Kim Miller.
Too late, Luther. Too late.
She is the Tilly of our little crew here. I'm honoring you with that, aren't I, Kim?
I suppose.
And
kill
this
you
is
in the elevator.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Everyone in the mirror universe has a knife and they try to kill someone with it and they always fail. In every iteration of the mirror universe, someone always has a knife, they pull it out, and then the other person catches it and disarms them and then punches them, and it never works.
Right.
Like, it's never worked.
At one point, does that stop becoming an homage and just becoming kind of silly?
Well, I mean, like, it was in the original, it's in the Enterprises episodes, I'm pretty sure it's in the Star Trek Continues, it's probably in the Deep Space Nine, so it never works.
Yeah.
But it's always a go-to. It's always like, if I pull out this knife, instead of this phaser right here, if I try to stab this person and just once, I think I'll probably kill him. So
yep.
Anyway, so welcome friends. I'm Mike McCaffrey. This is a podcast that has been an alternate universe now because we have jumped too many times to the Feral Audio Network, and now we've been cast adrift.
On what's the network? The Mycerial Network?
Mycelium Network.
Mycelium Network.
The Mycelium.
Yes. Mycelium Network.
That's our new podcast network.
Mycelium.
We'll now be network. Podcasting through mushrooms.
Welcome to Mycelium Audio. I'm Mike McCafferty.
So humid in here.
You don't want to know how we grow these things either. I kind of blew the punchline. Anyway. So here we are, we're talking, and I was totally surprised, I've totally forgot, and shame on me, that Discovery came back.
Yeah. Had the Doctor not been on top of it, I would have missed it myself.
I know, she was like...
Follow them on Facebook or Twitter? Or
I do, actually, yeah.
I do not.
Like, scroll.
Star Trek, pass.
something. Well, but see, here's what I was doing, and also Jason, is that we were much hotly anticipating the debut.
Yes.
This week, if you're listening to this week on Sunday at midnight on Adult Swim, this is probably one of the few times I'll ever plug anything, but you will be able to watch Hot Streets, which is created by Brian Weissel, friend of the pod, written by Brendan Campbell, and also starring Jason McCarris.
Woohoo!
In episode 2, Snake Island.
Which is actually episode 1 of Everything Going Back, right? Because the pilot's already aired and they're not going to air it again.
Well, no, it's going to be, well, it's actually taken out episode 3. This is all
right.
Very confusing. But there's a pilot which went away, and the first episode now is going to be, I think it's called Got a Minute for Love, which is, well, I can't tell what it's about. But then the second one is called Snake Island, starring Jason McCarris, written by... this guy.
Oh.
Mike McCafferty. That's right.
That's the one covering his face with his hand.
Mike McCafferty. And if you want to see this video, check us out on the Facebook page. I just want to talk about Star Trek.
What channel is this show going to be on?
It's going to be on
Adult Swim.
Ah.
Yes.
The Cartoon Network,
which then flips over to Adult Swim, right. The most viewed channel in the 18 to 35-year-old demographic.
On cable.
On cable, yes. It might even be anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, because it could be even broadcast. I'm not sure.
So that's anyway. Saturday night, 11:59.
Sunday.
12 a.m. Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a little confusing because when they say midnight Sunday, it's not 12 a.m. Sunday. It's 12 a.m. after Sunday ends.
So Sunday,
oh,
Monday.
So Monday. Okay.
Monday.
So Monday at midnight.
Monday at 12:01.
Okay. I was
Sunday
wondering about that.
At 11:59, you'll tune in. And
gotcha.
Then Monday at 12:01, you'll be 1 minute into the
Adult
episode.
Adult Swim is on TV Guide time. So, you know, the next day doesn't start until 2 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah, it's all very confusing. But Sunday, you will wait until the witching hour, and then you will turn on Adult Swim, and you'll watch these episodes. In episode 2, Snake Island, featuring Jess McCarris, and heavily influenced by Star Trek. I will give you that hint.
Excellent.
It is heavily influenced by Where No Man Has Gone Before. That's the only hint you'll get, because basically, you'll find it. Anyway, so that is our plug.
And that's hardly the only time throughout the season that there will be Star Trek references.
No, but it's a pretty...
It's a pretty big one.
The plot is pretty overt. I was very thrilled. It made me so happy. I think there's actually... there might even be some Indiana Jones stuff in there, too. I'm not sure. Anyway, so you'll check that out. But for right now, there was a Discovery episode. Title was, Kim?
Despite Yourself.
Despite Yourself... .. I guess. I mean,
well, it's kind of a play on words because of the mirror universe. Despite yourself.
No, I totally
Mike.
Get it. It's incomplete sentence. I know.
It's a play on words.
So I know these. I know these things. I get the references. You know.
Let's see if we can make it a little simpler for you to understand, Mike.
I had to clarify.
Break it down.
I understand all of these things. I understand it's a reference to yourself being a mirror universe component. They didn't invoke any sort of mirror allusions, but they did use the yourself. It's an incomplete sentence. You know, I'm being misunderstood everywhere. Friend of the pod, Jim Dabber, he tweeted something at me about Captain Dunsell, and I said, Dunsell?
Oh, good.
Who the Dunsell? And then he thought I didn't know what that was. It's like, no, I do know.
Quoting
that.
A line.
Yeah, because it's the next line. But even on that, I got wrong. So I'm just being misunderstood all over the place. But no, so we have this episode, Despite Yourself. It's been about a month since we had a new Discovery.
Break. Receiving, because they took the...
Yeah.
This is Chapter 2 now, which I figured was coming like months later, but I guess it was
Chapter
only
2,
4 weeks later.
Reboot 3. This is...
They call it Chapter 2.
No, they don't call it Chapter 2. But
they actually have called it Chapter 2 in the... Well, the writers have, but not, it's not official, I don't think.
No. Yeah.
I think they're...
I saw them say that on the After Trek show, which I also watched.
Oh,
I didn't watch any of the episodes you gave me to watch, but I watched that.
So, ironically, I had asked these guys before I realized that the Star Trek episode was actually airing, I think, that day, at that moment. I had asked those guys, let's do a podcast about Mirror Mirror. And then Kim's like, oh, well, shouldn't we do this? And then so I was like, oh, gosh. So we watched.
I just assumed it was because you knew that we were entering the mirror universe after the last
episode.
Oh,
you
episode.
Did?
And so I figured that you were like, oh, watch these classic Star Trek episodes that deal with the mirror universe so we could be all ready to talk about Discovery.
I think in the back of my head, like I knew we were in the mirror universe. I thought in the back of my head, I think it was things as this podcast network is slowly dissolving away, like the Defiant in the Tholian web, I am thinking like, let's just start clearing house of all the good episodes, as opposed to like rummaging through like the 700 episodes and finding like the average ones.
Okay.
By the way, my son is continuing his voracious consumption of TNG episodes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
How many has he seen now?
Like 50.
Wow.
50 or 70 now. He's getting to the point now where he's getting to the not so good ones. The ones where I'm like, huh?
Is he just like jumping around through all the seasons or is he going
chronologically? Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like his father.
Giving him little homework. Yeah.
Yes, like his father, he likes to time travel. but also because like I was trying to like not sour the milk on him and get him to watch the best ones first. And now he's blown through all those and now he's at the mediocre ones, but I've said let's watch the first episode and the last episode together, and he's like, no, I don't want to do that yet. He wants to savor it. So, anyway, I won't tell.
I mean, 20 minutes in, we still haven't talked about Discovery.
I know.
Well, I mean, it's not going anywhere. You know, I mean, it's going to be there forever.
You're on the mycelial network.
The mycelial network. We're doing our 130th
audio.
Brim.
It's interesting. I mentioned watching After Trek. Head writer, executive producer actually mentioned there's a book, which I can't remember the title of right now, but by an author whose last name is Stamets, who wrote all about the actual mycelial network because it's based in science.
Oh.
It's a real thing, I guess, which I had no idea. I thought, well, they made this bullshit up, but it's got some basis in science.
Boy, you're really going Discovery on this, aren't you? All this bullshit.
Well, come on. When you saw the whole thing about the mycelial network and
it didn't
strike you as, oh, this is classic Star Trek.
Yes, they have definitely gone far afield here. And they are, at least now, they're in a universe that I understand slightly.
Mm-hmm.
It's and to quote Tilly, to use her verbiage, it is a universe full of assholes. this mirror universe. That, like, as I was watching it, I mean, God, we're so disjointed right now. But I'll just say this. As I watched that, and I watched a little bit of Mirror Mirror, and I watched the Enterprise episodes, man, this Mirror Universe is just filled with assholes. It's just filled with like horrible, horrible people, and I don't understand how anything gets done.
Well, we've visited the Mirror Universe, it seems like, several times in the history of Star Trek, and doesn't seem like once anybody was nice when you went to the other side.
No one is nice.
Everyone's like, nice here. That's why they're a mirror.
Yeah, but how does that universe get on? Like, who's the nice person who's like, oh, I'm going to tend to your wounds out of like,
you or know, conversely, who's the real dick in this universe that when the other one comes around is like super nice?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, who's the person who's breaking this chain of horrible? Like, who's the person who does the laundry?
Yeah.
You know, and like pulls out the knife. You know, I'm like, you know, I didn't wash it, or you know, it's like, you know, I mean, there's. Yeah, that's the best I can come up with.
You mixed colors with whites.
You must
racist.
Die.
I know that.
All right, so here we are. Well, I'll go back to it again. We are. Let's talk about this episode. I'll start off with my thoughts because I normally ask you guys for your opinions, but I did not dislike it, which is like a couple of double negatives. There was enough of it to enjoy. The whole cosplay section, the whole noises off, bedroom farce stuff of, you know, which I know they've done that before. They did that in Star Trek VI where they're pretending to be other people. Just not, they're not ready for that yet. It was a heavy Lorca episode. I enjoy that. And at least they're doing stuff. So it seemed to move around a little bit better. At least we're in familiar territory for me now. Jason, what'd you think?
I'm kind of on a similar wavelength with you. Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it. I kind of liked it. I thought it was interesting. I appreciated kind of some of the details that went into it. In the after show, they showed that, you know, since they don't have the Starfleet Academy or Starfleet in general, is what I meant. And I forget what they called their Federation of Evil People. But anyway, there was such detail that each one of those logos and symbols had ranking and they all meant something. And it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I did watch this in virtual reality, I should point out, on something called Big Screen, if you're not familiar. And the cool thing about Big Screen is, I realize now, is that if you have an Oculus Rift or if you have an HTC Vive, you can both get in the same room together and watch stuff, because I was in a room watching Star Trek with people from Hawaii and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
So there's like 10 fools all kind of gaggling
around.
Can
you interact with them or something?
You can, yeah. I was kind of sitting in rows ahead of them so I could hear what was going on, because I knew I was going to actually have to pay attention to the episode, but they were all sort of like chit-chatting. This is amazing. I've never been in here before. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to move down here and stay away from you fools.
You turn around, shut up.
You know, every once in a while, I'm like, who's Krell? Who's the guy who's like running this room?
Sounds incredibly annoying.
It was actually very fun, but it was a cool experience to watch. I watched it in like a virtual giant cinema, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, although I've never been on board with Tilly, and she drives me crazy. And there's no exception here.
Jason hates whimsical girls.
Well, Kim, what did you think of Beacon for the 23rd century of feminine power, Tilly?
No, that's Burnham.
What was your opinion of the episode?
I enjoyed it, actually. Again, if you just put out of your mind everything that you know about Star Trek,
yes,
and don't expect it to conform perfectly, and if you can swallow stuff like, the Defiant is here somehow, you know, things like that. But
that is explained, and that's why I wanted you to watch those episodes, Kim.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, how's it there? Well, because you don't know Star Trek.
That's so angry, I froze.
I know. That statement killed her.
Yelled too loud. You froze up the mycelium.
Yeah, the mycelial network.
Broke the mushrooms.
I'm just saying the way it was sort of breezed over very quickly. You didn't think that was explained rather fast?
It is. And all of this explained rather fast. Like, if someone was just showing up, like, cold, they'd be like, where are we? I mean, most of it they did explain, but the whole background of this, you know, oh, it's an absolutely identical universe with ships and people that are just like us. You know, I mean, like, it's so... Now, it's such an improbable universe. Like I just think about all the infrastructure that goes in. You know, we're going to build a ship that looks exactly the same. You know, like, who is that architect who, like... in both universes decided to become a Starfleet, you know, architect and build the exact same looking ships.
Yeah.
And then
with slight details changed.
Yeah. But instead we'll paint ISS on it.
I like the little robots that were doing the paint job on the outside. They were changing the
ship. I know.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was cool, but it was a little ridiculous. So much work for that. But let's
go. I liked the darkness of the whole thing because I always like dark stuff. So I liked the episode overall.
Racist.
Unnecessary threat ganglia that we see all the time.
That didn't even occur to me until I watched it again. I'm like, ew. When he walked in, ew. Yeah.
Well,
the threat ganglia that pops up for no reason.
When Tyler walks in.
Oh, yeah. Now it pops up, right? Jesus, I mean, you know. And that treble, which is never there when Tyler's around.
And it's super loud.
Yeah, all of a sudden he shows up there. Just to remind us. There was... So let me give everyone... If you haven't watched Enterprise, I'm going to spoil it for you, unless you want to stop now and pick
I want to stop now. I'm going to step outside.
Do you want
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
So in... It's actually some of the better Enterprise episodes. I actually watched these again right after I watched this Discovery because it does. It's a two-parter which takes place completely in the Terran Empire universe. Like, we never see our heroes in it at all. It's all from that universe, and we have evil Captain Archer, Scott Bakula, who was tremendously overplaying it. Everything he says is so angry, and he's always tightening his jaw like this. And he's like, he is the biggest asshole in the entire universe. He's balancing on everyone else.
To use Discovery parlance. You know.
To use Discovery parlance. To speak colloquially for Discovery talk.
That's how I talk.
But, yeah, I know. Yeah, Kim's gone completely to the universe there. But he commandeers the Enterprise, the original Enterprise, NX-01. He, you know, takes it over from his captain to go into Tholian space because the Tholians have opened up a rift in a universe and in time and have pulled in, using a distress call, pulled in a ship from a different universe, which is the Defiant from the episode The Tholian Web.
Yes.
So that's where this, and then they steal it, and then, you know, he tries to take over the Terran Empire, but then his first officer, you know, kills him, and so it's, if you have a chance, I've just ruined it all for you, but it's really good two-parter called Through a Mirror, comma Darkly, but those are good. But that's where the Defiant comes from. So in some ways they're actually really honoring a lot of the canon in this episode. And I actually appreciate that. I thought that was pretty good.
Oh. Well, I didn't understand that whole backstory that you explained. I knew there was something significant about the Defiant.
Right.
Watching the show.
Well, it's a Constitution-class ship. You see,
right,
like,
exactly. It looks different than everything else.
The thing I kept on looking at, it was like, boy, I can't tell. Is that like a original series, or does it look like it's been changed a little bit to look like a Kelvin universe ship? Because it has a few more curves to it. I couldn't get a good enough look, but maybe I'm wrong. So that's the backstory on that. Shall we dive a little deeper into the episode?
Sure.
Start us off, Kim. What do you want to talk about?
We can start at the top where they arrive in the scene of a battle, Klingon wreckage, where they find that there are Andorians and
that's
Vulcans.
That's where we'll start. Sorry, Doctor, we could barely hear you. Oh. Broke up there.
They arrive at the scene of a battle, Klingon wreckage everywhere.
Right.
And Andorians and Vulcans' bodies on board. I'm like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
It
so
seems
that's,
like they're going
that's...
straight to the good stuff, it seems like. Straight to the Mirror Universe, straight like the second of the newer Star Trek films went straight to the Khan scene. Oh, Khan. Like, just, I don't know. It seems weird to you that it's just jumping right to the best parts? Or is it like, it makes sense?
I mean, it is. We are definitely in the previous series and film. Yeah, there's no lead into this, I guess. I mean, right off the bat.
But what am I missing? What significance to them finding? Or are you just talking about the mirror universe itself? Or are you talking about this wreckage that they're finding?
I'm talking now about just this series leaping right to the best parts of the original series.
Series, okay.
Yeah. In the way, like, the second film pulled from the best parts of the original cast
film. Movie.
Mm-hmm. It's like, where are you going to go from here? Are you actually going to come up with your own original stuff?
Yeah. I think you're right in that. Like, it's the problem. So they did in the Naked Time, the second episode of the original series, and mm-hmm. in Naked Now, the second episode of TNG, they both decided to make our characters wacky and drunk when we don't have any frame of reference for who they really are. It's like, well, how do we know Captain Picard's going to act like that? I mean, maybe he does. Maybe he is a goofball. But how do we know that Spock doesn't cry every episode? I mean, it's, you know, the second episode. It's a good point, Kim, that we're, what, 9 episodes into this now?
This is 10.
And so now we're expected to know these characters enough to know what their mirror universes are going to act like. I barely know what Tilly acts like. I mean, or Michael Burnham. Like, what does Michael Burnham's evil side look like? Probably like the same person, right? But we don't know. At least in you know, TOS, they gave it enough episodes to go to the mirror universe. It's like, okay, we've seen them 30 times. We know what they're going to be like.
It's just interesting to me. That kind of struck me. Like, they have that advantage of having all these decades of history. Like, let's pick the best parts to get our series off to a really strong start and what the fans would like and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool, I suppose. They're lucky to have that.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly can. And you're right. They have 700 episodes to pull from, but this is certainly one of the most exciting things they could possibly pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it, like, I guess my hope is that, like, this will get them, like, oh, we're in the Kelvin universe, and there's another universe beyond this one.
Oh my God!
Which made
madness.
Which then makes all of this make sense. That's my one shining hope. That it's like, like, aside from a few sound cues, none of it looks like the original series.
Yeah, when Tyler is flying that pod, the worker bee, he's using that weird glove technology to say, I'm like, jeez, TOS, what? No, put it out of your mind. If you want to enjoy it, don't think about it too much.
He's got some strange, like Oculus Rift thing and a trackball from, you know, 1997. You know, here's my trackball. I can just roll this ball and control my mouse. Is it useful? No, but I can control it. Okay.
Hey, some people still use the trackball. Not me. But
no,
someone.
Somewhere there's a trackball somewhere.
Yeah. So in the following scene, it's with in sickbay with Stamets with his weird cloudy eyes. It's a palace. We'll find out what that means at some point.
Yeah.
But in this scene as well, like, I kind of finally started to like Dr. Culber, finally learned his name.
So, I know. Yeah.
Just in time.
I'm like, oh, he's all right. All right. But let's see. I guess this is true of the original series as well, but it seems like there's no other crew on the ship. It's always these same people that do all the jobs.
This is true. It's. I mean, he even assigns another doctor, you know, we're like, there's another doctor?
Yeah.
And then they don't even name that doctor. It's just like a random, like, extra in the background, you know, like, tending to him. It's like, it is the problem with all Star Trek series is that there's nobody else who's competent enough to do anything.
I suppose it makes sense. You can't have 400 people running around. The series also doesn't have any red shirts. It doesn't seem like expendable people.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, like this show costs...
only expendable Klingons. Half the Klingons are dead at this point.
I clicked. By the way, I went on CBS All Access and to watch it. And very quickly, it says like watch latest episode or something. I clicked on it, and it started up with the first episode.
Oh, okay.
You know, with like zooming in through the eye, you know, look, da, jaw, rah, yeah. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, are they recapping this for us? And I watched a good like 2 minutes of these jackasses talking in slow Klingon.
You realized you started the whole series.
And I was slow like, no. It was just and it made me realize how far we've gone, and this has nothing to do basically with Klingons anymore, except for this tiny little thread.
What? Oh,
well,
one of my favorite parts of this episode.
Well, I mean, maybe they'll bring it back, but
the creepy love story.
No, the whole mentoring candidate stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's
well, yeah. There's
or because there was.
Everybody was very suspicious that it's the guy we saw the Klingon from before. They've somehow turned
Vok.
Him into yes, Vok. They've turned him into a human being, and then I guess people were thrown off the trail by that, by some interviews and things like that. And they were like, "Well, maybe that's not the case." But this seems to indicate dancing around it. But when he flips out and murders the doctor,
we've got some issues there. Yeah, yeah. So he has gone past the area of redeemability as far as most characters.
Yeah,
you know, when you do the next snap, although. You know,
and as somebody pointed out, and it's in the original series, right, that one of the Klingons, they actually performed a procedure to make him look more human, right? Are you remembering this? I read about it today, and I was like, oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that from, there was one episode.
Well, in The Trouble with Tribbles, I mean, Aaron Darvin was a Klingon, like, who was disguised to look like a human, which means, And obviously, like, I mean, in Enterprise, none of these guys should exist because the augment virus has changed them all. Into human-looking people, but I mean, like this should have already happened. You know, it's well in the past with Captain Jonathan Archer and all this sort of stuff. But very quickly, my PSA to any writers or showrunners about neck snaps: let's not do any more neck snaps, okay?
Why not?
Neck snap theater.
I am so done with neck snaps. They don't work. I looked this up.
Quick, Jason, neck snapping.
That's the wrong direction, but that's okay.
See? It doesn't work.
Proof is in the pudding.
So I'm going to grab onto Jason's neck or whatever, his head, and I'm going to try and twist it to
all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, because, like I looked this up, because it's such a trope now that everyone neck snaps. Maybe it's also in Game of Thrones, too. Is that what we saw it in?
Oh, it's in a million things.
It's in a million things. But, like, in all the Star Treks, well, at least in the recent ones, the neck snapping people. And basically, there's a couple of options, but death is not one of them, generally.
Like paralyzation, or
paralyzation, okay. And maybe if you're lucky, you might twist the neck so much around that you close off the esophagus. But generally, you're looking at paralyzing them from the head down.
So maybe the doctor's alive and just you know,
he might be. I mean, he might be like, still
here. You didn't finish the job. That's Monty Python.
That's what I want. I want him to just be like laying there on this completely empty sick bay where there's nobody else there, and he can get neck snapped and then walk over to the transporter and be like, "Hey, where were you? I don't know. Concussion protocol, anybody? I mean, like, Jesus. I mean, like, so we're going to be beaming to this other universe ship and you're acting all foggy. No, we can't do
that. Yeah.
What? I can't remember. Okay, sounds good.
Yet another example of Burnham kind of shirking her duty and not reporting this. Just like, I'll cover for you.
Yeah, that's, you know, because he was like, yeah, I'm just, LMS PTSD and it's crazy. And she's like, okay, all right. You were captured by Klingons for 9 months and you're going through this real tough stuff. And we're going to beam over to this mirror universe where everybody's got knives and everybody stabs each other. I think it's okay because I love you.
I'll be fine. I swear. Okay, nothing can go wrong there.
It's Michael Burnham, Scourge of the Federation.
You'll tell me if you're having a problem, right? Oh yeah, should be fine.
To rile up Jason, I will say she is the Poe Dameron of Star Trek. She causes so many unnecessary deaths. Sorry. Moving on.
But also in that second scene, which I forgot to mention, they're talking about, where is that? Where are my notes?
This is
I
good podcast.
Pushed him right? to, yeah. Lorca is explaining to Burnham and Saru about the mycelial network and how they got to this place and how they were experimenting. And Stamets was helping him with his theory that they're all connected and there's all this stuff. And he never mentions that he apparently put in those coordinates, right? Is that what we saw at the end of
the
previous
episode?
Yes, he
did, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So
He's
keeping that. Oh, that was just it. He never mentions that to them, so.
Well,
I'm like, did I actually see that in the last episode? What?
No, we all saw it. I see the screen
cap.
Was that
on purpose?
if you missed out in the last episode, Lorca commandeered navigation, which I guess is okay. I mean, I guess like your navigation board won't like short out as you're doing that, and entered in like his own unknown coordinates. I think it even says unknown, which is like, like if you open up Waze or Siri, you can't type in unknown.
I don't think you can do that in Star Trek Bridge Command.
I
video
think
game.
You can do that. Yeah, there's no way to go to unknown, but he does that, and so he knows. You know, he knew he was going to this unknown spot. But I think, and we can all share opinions, but I think I've cracked what's going on with him, at least reverse engineering enough. I think we all have figured it out now, which kind of also lends to my idea that like, let's not make everything so mysterious and White Palace anymore. Let's just spell it out for us and then just see the execution of it.
Wait, what was your theory about him? White Palace, Susan Sarandon?
What did he say? Doesn't he say don't go to the White Palace?
A palace, right? The White Palace.
Yeah.
Racist.
Like White Palace, that movie with Susan Sarandon.
You're right, Susan Sarandon. It's an excellent pickup, Doctor.
I'm thinking about White Castle. Don't go to White Castle.
Harold and Kumar.
The palace.
Yes. He is definitely being a little obsequious, I guess. Is that the correct word? Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
No.
He's being a little withholding.
What was your theory about him?
I was just going to ask the same thing. What's your theory about him?
Well, from what they've sort of spelled out is that Lorca was presumed dead in this universe, I think, or missing. They weren't quite clear about that, but
with Burnham,
and that he was like he was doing something, maybe heading back to
supposedly killed Burnham in this universe.
Supposedly killed Burnham because she was hunting after him, and that he was off to do something to the Emperor.
Oh, he was attempting a coup of the faceless Emperor.
Yeah, so the
and
faceless
she...
Emperor.
She went to try to capture him, but one of his minions blew up her pod, and then the Emperor destroyed his ship, and he escaped somehow.
Yeah, and he escaped, never found. So, I mean, you know, if we're following these breadcrumbs, I can only imagine that maybe he is the Mirror Universe, Lorca. He's trying to get back somehow. He got here, he's trying to get back somehow.
I like that.
Well, that's... it seems to science, maybe trying to do something, but to me, like you say those things, and even though they tried to make them as much in passing as possible, it's the loaded gun. It's like it's the Chekhov's gun, not Mr. Chekhov, but Anton Chekhov's. If you put a gun someplace on set, someone's going
to have
to fire.
Use it at some point.
Yeah, so you can't say those things and not come back to them. If you do, then it's just sloppy writing. So my feeling is that he, getting a little late.
My filial
about this is that he is probably Lorca from this universe.
Ooh,
he somehow got into ours. I don't know what he's trying to bring back. Maybe it's the spore drive.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I mean, what I was thinking is if he is going to trade places with the Mirror Universe Lorca, what's the point exactly? But if he was already the Lorca was switched, then or. That Lorca ended up in our universe.
Yeah, so we'll see if this plays out. I kind of hope it is, because that's the most interesting.
That would be awesome.
You know, I mean, other people, I'm not the first person to posit this. People are pointing out that he keeps a phaser, you know, in his pants.
in his bed as well.
In his bed, yeah.
15 minutes. Gonna need that phaser here, though.
got a phaser in my pants.
got a phaser in my pants, baby. I got 15 minutes.
Shrink needed to check the phaser in his pants.
I know you're a psychologist, and my people are out in a dangerous nebula. I got 15 minutes in a phaser in my pants. Jesus, became the Orville. Yeah, here's a dick joke for you too. You know?
It's true.
But that would be I think that would be cool, because I mean I like Lorca, and this was a great episode for him. He's just cutting through all the garbage,
especially the final scene in the torture chamber.
Oh, when he's just like
just ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite was when he slammed his face
against the elevator door.
He's like, okay, now we're ready. There's other ways to do that, you know? I mean, like a doctor could make like fake that.
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
I mean, like they've done
or
that.
Or just have somebody actually punch him.
Yeah, I mean, but
as
like,
opposed to smashing his face against a metal door,
like 3 seconds before they're beaming him, was like boom, boom. All right, now let's go. You know,
I picture the next person coming. I'm like, what the? Who's going to clean this up?
Who left blood on the buttons again? On the little twisty dial, sending this weird triangular elevator.
Blood all over the door, you moron.
Saru's blood ganglia is going to suddenly pop up. It's like, oh, Jesus. Yeah. I sense weird behavior in this elevator all of a sudden.
I enjoy how Saru, whenever the threat ganglia come out, he's always embarrassed by them.
I know.
Tucks them away. Like, why don't you tell somebody? Hey, these things popped out. That's Maybe we true. Should check something out around here.
Why don't, like, what is why
that is... tonight? He's always like, oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, my stars.
I know. It's so how weird. Like, I have a run in my pantyhose. He's so
we're going to run in circles around the ship really fast.
I don't understand why every ship doesn't have one of these guys. It's like it's sort of like the Next Generation. It's like, oh, we have these people, these beta Zeds. Well, yeah, why don't they all have, like, why don't they just, like, make 100 Datas and 100 Counselor Troys? Like, so on the Next Generation ship, on the Enterprise, we have an android who can do anything and a person who can read minds. But let's not do that. You have a whole planet full of Betazoids who can read minds.
Did they ever have any explanation that they were, like, the beta test program for Starfleet or something? Yeah. No?
Save that for the Orville, Jason. Yeah. Save it, yeah.
The beta test. No, they never did, really. They never, I don't think they ever addressed that.
No, they didn't. It's now, there was one time, like, an off-handed comment in Deep Space Nine where Betazoid was conquered by the Cardassians or by the Founders or something like that. But it is one of those things where the Federation is so weirdly nearsighted. It's like, well, we have these people who can read minds, and we have this person who can sense feelings on board the ship. Let's just put everybody who can read minds on the ship so they can do stuff faster and they can tell if someone's lying on the other ship. But they don't. So, and yep. Again, like, I would have a Saru on every single ship. Because if there's a cloaked ship out there, he'd be like, oh, cloaked ship.
Oh, my.
You're a ganglia. Yeah, oh, my. Oh, my ganglia, you know. All right, so where do we go to next?
Well, we've talked about a couple of scenes that happen next, but we see Laurel in the brig, and Tyler goes to confront her. You can't hurt me anymore. What did you do to me there? We did together so many things.
I think...
Oh, no! Buffering.
All right, so
can you
hear me now? Kid?
I can hear you, but so, video's a little weird, but go on.
Gosh, I don't know why the Feral Audio Network's fading away. Because of these amazing podcasts here.
I can't see why this hasn't been scooped up by some podcast network since Feral's going away.
I and let me tell you this right now. We are not going to Trek FM over my dead body.
Those jackasses at Trek FM.
I will self-destruct this podcast in a heartbeat.
The cavity, 1-1-0.
0-0, destruct 0. I will do that.
Next week.
Yeah.
This podcast can now be heard on Trek FM. Trek FM.
So what are you guys offering? I got a bunch of cards that say, I just want to know Star Trek. I can cut off that bottom part. All right. So we kind of missed you there a little bit, but you were talking about where we had Laurel trying to use her password, her recover password function. What street were you born on? And it doesn't work because...
It's like the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a boxcar. Yeah, hot dog.
I'm pretty sure with the Winter Soldier, two of the words were boxcar and hot dog.
Boxcar might be one of them. That sounds familiar.
Okay, all right. No, there's some weird ones, but I didn't think hot dog was among them.
Hot dog was not one of them. Boxcar is his and my code word. I'm giving you
look this up.
For you, those of you listening on the podcast, boxcar is one of my secret code words, which will unleash me. You have 5 more to figure out.
Suddenly you're fluent in Klingon. Yeah. Whom do we see? Just say hello. How do we find him? I like that thing. That was very cool, I thought.
It was okay.
The eye roll. Next snap.
Longing, rusted furnace, daybreak 17, benign 9, homecoming. Well, they came back to that in Marvel 1. Freight car.
Oh, freight car. Freight car. Boxcar.
Boxcar Willie.
The old Boxcar McCafferty here.
They're all yelling Boxcar, the Winter Soldier, as he's killing.
Boxcar, Boxcar, Boxcar.
He's not responding.
Boxcar!
Hot dog!
Hot dog! Hot dog, Boxcar! Jumanji! I got like 6 out of 9. Won't you just at least stop hitting me? Oh my god. Oh, this is terrible. My intricate plan to get you to fight to like Tony Stark. Oh my god, what a terrible plan. I blew up the UN for this. Oh my god. To get these like 8 code words from you. Jesus, man. All right, so
back to the unleashing of
but her
of the
prayer. Yeah, her. She says that the prayer is supposed to work on you, should make you remember something is wrong, because she doesn't realize they're in the mirror universe. I guess no one filled in the Brig occupants.
I guess so. Yeah.
You know, something I missed that I meant to go back and rewatch before we did the podcast was the doctor's analysis of him. He said he found something, you know, on sub levels or something like that that was not right, and he would have to take the command away from him. So, did he get into the details of what he found?
Yeah.
Well, he found his legs were shorter. His bones had been shorter.
Right. Okay. I do remember hearing that. Yeah.
He kind of went Gattaca on tissue, like, you know,
around all his organs and all that.
It's making a whole lot more sense with the
and the thing they said also was that there
the
wasn't
that was clinging.
Yeah. So they shortened his bone structure, like, you know, the Jude Law Gattaca character, and then they removed organs because Klingons have redundant organs, several redundant organs, yes. And so,
several redundant organs, yes.
Well, it's in one of the I think it's in one of the TNG episodes. Don't you remember where Worf dies and then like
Doctor, what's her name, Diana Muldaur,
like Pulaski. He has a redundant heart or something like that. But the thing was is that it was a personality overlay.
Yeah.
So like, which is like just ridiculous commentary. It's like, oh, well, the personality wasn't underneath; it was on top. What? So the blanket wasn't under the bed; it was on top of the bed. Oh, okay, I got it. Doesn't make any sense. But anyway, so he somehow sussed that out through like, I don't know, some sort of weird tests. I don't know. I don't know how you can suss out that there's another personality overlaid on someone.
In the future, it's like a pregnancy test. It's like a Klingon pregnancy test.
Would you pee on this, please?
You can get away with anything by saying there is some research that shows.
Yeah. So they out him of being a possible Klingon, and then
3 out of 4 dentists.
Be a Klingon,
or Jeff Foxworthy has a whole comedy.
If you break in to the Brig and there's no one there, you might be a Klingon. If you snap the neck of your doctor, you might be a Klingon. Oh God, I know what I'm going to be doing for the Star Trek convention now. I'm Jeff Spocksworthy here.
Oh no.
Captain Chili.
And beta testing's okay. Come on, Jesus.
I think he said that on purpose.
Did you say beta testing on purpose or no?
No, I don't know anything about the
Betazoid, but
I was just talking about beta testing as in actual beta testing.
Were you making a play on words when you said beta testing? Oh gosh.
No, you jumped to it and I was like, oh hey, great.
You can stop.
I'm a genius.
Person.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
You're very stable.
Never even seen the app. Speak about it.
But after he snaps his neck, then Stamets goes, "The enemy is here."
Yes. Yeah.
Well, if he's here, why didn't you stop him? I mean, instead of just
why didn't you wake up and say something? Well,
why
he
didn't
did.
You go,
he tried.
Well, he said something earlier, right? Yeah. He said the enemy is here. The enemy is coming. That's just the enemy is coming.
Couldn't you say, Ash is a Klingon. Like, why are we? doing these weird, like...
Lorca's from the mirror universe.
Use a Klingon and get me some Visine, for the love of God.
I know. I just have cataracts, you guys. I mean, Jesus, it's not... nothing weird about this. So he snaps the neck. Have we already gotten the next snap? I guess we.
Oh, yeah, I jumped way ahead. Let's just jump.
We don't have to go scene by scene. It's because the next snap, and we can go. We cover that scene. It happened. It was a thing, and then he just kind of walked away, and no one seemed to be there to do anything about it. It would be nice if, like, in the future, like, they had some sort of like way of like. Like 911-ing it, or like have like the vitals of people, you know. So if like, we have a neck snapping in the medical bay, let's send someone down there. You know, I mean.
Well, he said, "Be careful! The enemy is here."
Well, didn't he say it was coming in the beginning and then here at the end when he was there?
Well, he said it earlier.
The enemy is here.
Said it earlier and then repeated.
I thought he changed it when he was actually there.
No, all
right. But we went right past your favorite.
It wouldn't have made much sense if he was coming because he's been on the ship for weeks.
One thing: like all of this, like prophesizing, it's close to magic. When someone says all these weird kind of mystical things, it kind of bugs me a little bit, just because it's like, you know, I mean,
he knows that through the mycelial network, apparently.
Yes, he can't speak in complete sentences or in anything that has any. I mean, like that's what you come out like, you know, like, you know, don't go to the palace. Beware, he's here. Like. Do you have anything more specific? I mean, is that all you've got? Is all the mushrooms what you say? Anyway, go ahead, Kim.
Don't watch White Palace.
Don't watch White Palace. Don't go to White Castle. Don't watch White Knights.
Oh, whatever you do, watch
I like White,
White
Knights.
I know.
Say you, say me. Say it together.
Yes.
It's the way it should be.
Did you appreciate the agony move? He was so entranced by your performance.
What is it? Isn't it? Now that we're living separate lives. That's
also in there too. Yeah. Okay. Collins. Oh, yeah. I love that too. With Marilyn, I'm forgetting.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Meryl Streep. Yeah.
All right. So where do we go? Kim, where do you want to go to next? Tell me another section.
Well, we can go right to the agony booths. Are you excited to see those?
Agony booths are okay. I mean, those have been seen in both Enterprise and in Star Trek, the original series. So those were fun. That was nice.
I want someone to have an agonizer, a portable agonizer.
Well, and I was thinking about that, and I think probably because I think that's probably 24th century Terran Empire technology. Like, at least that's what I like, because I agreed they should all have little agonizers and be like, oh, Jesus, man, come on, stop, you know? Okay, such a crack up.
Jesus, stop!
Come on, stop! Your hand buzzer agonizer.
They have those now. Yeah, hand buzzers.
Got it in the back of a comic book. Agonizer.
That's probably what they had in the back of the game. Because if the mirror universe is almost identical, I mean, they must have comic books with Spider-Man, who's an asshole, you know.
X-ray goggles and
every superhero is just an asshole.
Yeah.
I know.
Man, that asshole.
That's kind of what we're getting in the DC movies right now.
Well, it's true, yeah.
Superman destroyed all of Metropolis and some of Gotham City.
Apparently. I know. And then how did he kill Zod?
Snapping his neck.
Snapping his neck. Thank you, baby.
Full circle.
Yep.
Jor-El. Kal-El, I'm still alive.
Still alive.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I guess I'm going to smother you. I don't know. How do I do this?
Well, I did look it up, and I saw what you were talking about. There's some discussion as to whether it would, you know, it's a trope and would it kill anybody. And somebody's like, it would have to be very particular. It's like your C2 and C3. If you get it just right,
it has to be.
You stop breathing, and your heart will stop beating at some point. But it's not like instantaneous.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people suffer like spinal injuries and survive. I mean, so to do that and to consistently, it's such a way to kill people.
Right.
But it doesn't work. I mean, at least this. I mean,
if it paralyzes like your diaphragm, you can't breathe anymore. Maybe.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, but all that is controlled through involuntary stuff, which is, you know, higher up in the brainstem. So, That, like, generally involuntary functions are still work. So
here's what this jackass says in a forum. If your neck is broken on a level of C2 or C1 in layman's terms, it will damage the area that controls your breathing and heart rate. What happens is you stop breathing immediately and die shortly after.
That's why, like, Christopher Reeve needed artificial ventilation.
Well, yeah, that's
Speaking
true.
Of but, Superman.
Yeah. But so he's still just...
That's terrible.
What? Yeah,
next, Superman and neck snapped Zod, and Chris Reeve also had his neck snap.
Oh, God. All right, so we're moving on.
Moving right along.
Don't bring real world stuff.
I just want You're the one who brought up the biological reasoning behind neck snapping.
Well, I don't need real world examples, all right? Don't bring
don't
this down.
Don't debate me on it. Just agree.
I will come down there and snap your neck.
Don't mirror universe some facts here. It's like, oh, let's just talk about these guys who never walked again. You know, All right, Jason, you pick a place. Where do you want to talk about?
Pick a place in the episode.
Pick a place
in the episode.
I think we covered all of it. Now you can.
Yeah, I was going to say. Follow I your feel heart. Like we covered a lot of it. The other thing we didn't talk about is Tilly on the comm with the other ship.
What the?
Let's
heck?
Get to the whole
hell.
Yeah.
Let's get to the whole cosplay. The whole like Captain Tilly with like when they show a picture of her and she's got that big long flowing wig. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, first of all. Watch out, Comic-Con, because there's going to
be a lot of those.
800 Captain Tillys walking around.
Yeah.
And then you have Jason Isaacs going back to his, what, Welsh brogue there? Is
he's
that what he
Scottish.
Has?
Scottish engineering.
Is that his real accent?
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, was he?
He sounded just like Simon Pegg to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is in keeping with
I didn't know if
engineering.
Is Jason Isaacs Scottish, is he?
No, I think he's... Australian? British?
Australian? I don't know. I think he's British.
British.
Yeah. I'll look it up.
British, but...
You know, and I just want to talk about Star Trek. We don't know a lot of things.
Except that Klingons have 14 pancreas.
Just two. That's all they need. Well, you have 14 pancreases? Well, that's actually too many here.
We have too many pancreas. Yeah, he was born in Liverpool, actually.
Oh, in Liverpool. Okay.
Yeah, so he's British.
Okay, so yeah, that's so he was affecting a Scottish role.
I thought he was funny. I love him. I everything he does in the show.
I love him too. It got a little goofy and wonky at that point in time. It was a little too light. Like, and they just dove into it. They just like owned it. Like, we're in a mirror universe, and according to this,
yeah. Well, they have records of everything that happened in the universe.
This is Captain Tilly. Don't talk. You're actually dead. And, and you know, and like, what's going on over there? How come we can't see you? You know, it's like it is such a bedroom fartsy kind of thing. Yeah. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it.
Do you not want the any end. Humor in Discovery? Does all of the humor bug you?
I don't mind humor, but it was just in such a weird, inappropriate spot. Like when she comes out the second time as Tilly, as Captain Killy, that was okay. That was like, okay, I don't mind that because she has to play the role. We've kind of built in it. I guess, you know, it's a minor quibble. It's not killing the episode. I'm just saying, you know, we could have done better. We can always do better.
B minus.
That was a B minus moment. They tried the humor. They got a little humor, but they could have done better.
How come? So Tyler was assigned as her personal guard. Where's my personal guard? Right.
Yeah, and no one.
So how come he wasn't with her in the turbo lift when she was attacked?
This is a good question. You'll follow me everywhere except the turbo lift when I'm going to have this guy. I know. Was that the guy who got blown out into outer space who was like,
yeah.
What's the purpose of war?
Why are we fighting?
Why are we fighting? Which would explain why this guy, because I was chasing him down because I thought it was fascinating that this guy like basically hit like my major problem with this episode is like, why are we fighting? And I kept on saying, hey, man, can we talk? I mean, you're dead. And he's like, oh, I'm going to have to check with the powers that be. He never got back to me because he had one more episode. He died again.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. You know, the other thing I didn't mention was in watching the After Trek show was that they made kind of a big to-do about... Doctor, you remembered the Doctor's name who was killed. I'm blanking on the character's name.
Culber.
Was a guest. I'm sorry?
Culber.
So Culber is coming back. He's not going to be dead. The producers basically acknowledged this. It's either going to be... What? In a mirror universe form or something, but he's coming back.
Oh, they're going to find your counterpart?
I guess, or he's going to come back to life somehow, but he's definitely coming back.
Okay.
I saw that too, and it kind of bums me out because, like, in this episode, at least things happened. You know? I mean,
yeah. I mean, that was a shocking moment. I'm watching kind of like, happens. Like, oh, holy shit. Okay, like, this is
great.
Happening.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I love that.
Although there is some criticism that they made such a big deal about the, the first gay couple in Star Trek and everything, and then all of a sudden they just kill off and end the relationship.
but
one's killed and one is... crazy.
Right, and one's like comatose.
Yeah. Right, I understand that, but I mean, if we are normalizing this, then do we have to protect that couple? I mean, like, no, we have to shelter this relationship because it is so precious.
Right.
You know, it's just like...
And in the future, probably it's not a precious thing, it's a normal thing.
Right, right. But I mean, like, we've had two or three episodes where they've had a wonderful love relationship. Mm-hmm. Do we again protect it? Are we bringing them back? It's like, oh, hey, because remember, because I saw that article and he said, yeah, we totally understand. This is a very important relationship. No. You can't have that meta analysis of this if it's good for the story. And because they even said in the story, it made sense that he would figure out what's going on with, mm-hmm. with Ash, and so we had to deal with him. Then kill him. I mean,
also, it was pointed out he's the only one who calls Lorca out on his bullshit. He's like,
exactly. It was a clear. I was like, yep, you're right. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm gonna own it. It's funny because like watching that moment was a very Game of Thrones moment.
Yeah, and, that's what I like about it.
And I think that's
Doctor.
And it like I was
get your enjoyment in now because it's gonna be a whole year. Anywhere Game of Thrones.
Oh my god. It is, yeah, it's going to be forever like that. And, like Rick and Morty, those are the two rallying cries. You know, wait till the 20s, you know, and we'll get a series going. But it reminded me, like, one of the things when I was, like, possibly thinking about doing a deep dive on Mirror Mirror is that these characters behave in ways, like, first of all, like, most of them, like, I keep on calling them assholes, but in some ways they act closer to... They are the balancing force of, in Star Trek we have very idealized humanity shown, you know, like in the new in the original series, the Next Generation, people are at their best, and in the Mirror Universe we kind of have people at their worst, and it kind of opened the door for people to act like normal human beings, to act sort of reprehensible and stuff like that, and so in some ways Mirror Mirror slowly open the door, which allowed shows like Game of Thrones, where you just have despicable, horrible people that you're like, gosh, why am I so entranced with these people's horrible actions? Like, it's because that Mirror Universe, like, it's so fascinating to see how evil, you know, succeeds. There's far more interesting people on Game of Thrones that you want to follow, where these people are like, I don't think I could watch three more episodes of, you know, these guys just shouting at each other. But to see people who have actual, you know, self-interest motivations, you know, I want to be in charge, I want to be king. It started with Mirror Mirror in my mind, and Game of Thrones is
so Game of Thrones is as good as it is because of Mirror Mirror.
yes, I believe that. I 100% believe that. That is the correct premise. That is my you could call it a hypothesis or a theory. I'm calling it law. I think it's calling it McCafferty's law, which is that
principle. Everything comes from Star Trek.
Oh. Breaking Bad. Walter White has a goatee. You know who had a goatee? Spock.
Mirror Spock. Where's your goatee?
You know they did that a little bit on purpose, right? Yeah, again right now. So
I might be
people with goatees are evil, Jason.
Yeah. Although technically those are Van Dykes.
Yeah. I don't know what the difference is between the Van Dyke and the goatee.
I
think the Van Dyke isn't connected on the sides or something. Not connected here.
Is that true?
It's just a point.
Yeah, the goatee is?
I think
it forms a T.
Like a goat,
Van Dyke.
Like a forms a T, yes. We're forming a T for terrible podcast. Mycelium Network, form a T. okay, do we have anything else to wrap this up with, or should we just...
All hail Captain Burnham. All hail the Empire. Didn't you like the ha?
Yeah, I know. That's so weird. Yeah, it's... That's right, because she took over the Shenzo again. Mm-hmm. There's some inklings that it might be Captain Filippo, or what is her name?
Giorgio.
Captain Giorgio, yeah.
I thought might we be might the Empress.
Well, there's been some rumblings, and I'm spoiling this right now, sorry, but that she might be the Empress. I don't know why. I don't know why that would be like such a, oh my gosh, kind of moment that she, the Shenzo, but now she's in charge.
It's got to be someone in, shocking.
Yeah, someone we know.
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, in the Enterprise episodes, it was Hitoshi Sato, I think is her name. She was the communications officer.
Oh, okay.
No, no?
Oh, yeah, I know who you mean.
Are you disagreeing with? Oh, okay.
Oh, no, I didn't remember that. Linda Park.
Is that her name? Linda Park? Okay, yeah. She eventually became... Because she inherited the Defiant after killing off Archer, and then she shows up at Earth, and she's like, I'm going to be the Empress now, and there's nothing you can do about it, because I have 23rd century technology. And that's how the episode ends. It's actually pretty cool. They're just kind of like, the end. All right, do we have anything else?
Very good.
Should we just kind of...
The book I forgot that the producer mentioned, which gives a little insight into the mycelium network, is Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Help Save the World by Paul Stamets, which makes sense because the character Stamets is named after him.
Jeez, okay. So that's what that name is.
I might actually read two pages of this book and then get bored.
Oh.
But I'll try.
You're honest.
Mycelium Running. What is for that? I don't, like, what does Mycelium Running mean? What is that?
You have to read the book, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah.
What is the full title? Mycelium Running?
Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Save the World, I believe. How Mushrooms Can Help Save the World. It's the sixth book written by Paul Stamets.
Wow.
He explores the use and applications of fungi and bioremediation. Bioremediation.
What is this? Can I see this picture here?
Yeah. The front cover of the first edition.
Yeah, it's like, so I'm looking at this picture. I'm just trying to figure out what the play on words is as we're going through, you know.
Mycelium Running.
We've already hit beta testing and...
Mycelium Running Man, I think is what they're going for.
I was thinking Cool Running.
Yeah. Cool Mycelium Running. Oh, boy. All right, let's call an end to this. It's all over.
It's over. We're done.
I can't do it anymore.
Defeated us.
Just keep coming and coming. I can't defend myself.
We should send Mike out on an important mission now.
Keep having these flashbacks. I'm part of this podcasting network all dedicated
Quick
to
doctor, torture. Use his words. Say his words.
Boxcar really hot dog.
Hot dog.
Jason's next. Right.
Oh, Mike shit, broke breathing. A glass.
I'm still alive.
Mike broke a glass in his bare hands, but he seems fine.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. What was he drinking? Chocolate milk? What was that? It was like a weird drink that we're supposed to be like, oh, what's that he's drinking? Is it like a Kahlua and cream or something? Like, I don't understand. Like
he milked some space creature outside, like Luke Skywalker.
You're not bringing that guy in here. briefly, didn't like Last Jedi, saw it again, okay with it. Jason, liked Last Jedi. Kim?
I haven't seen it a second time. I'm going to give it another shot. First impression was like, what?
It is.
The first impression is what?
What? Well, I think you even had a couple of what moments. Yeah.
Oh, I definitely had what moments the first time I saw it. And then as it sunk in, and there's some things I didn't quite catch the first time. And I'm like,
apologist.
Oh, well, little makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Star Trek, yes. Or Star Wars apologist.
Star Trek apologist.
Damn it.
Star Trek.
We're off our game tonight. It's all right. It's okay. Just something got so tired. So tired. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us in this universe here. Remember, check me out at my Twitter handle, at Mike McCafferty. Jason's is at...
Jason McCarris.
At Jason McCarris, that's me.
Yes. And Kim is at...
Flip-a-dip.
Oh, my God. sound like you're...
Mike died 5 minutes ago.
It's all breaking apart. My eyes are clouding over.
Get him some Visine.
One of you will ruin the podcast.
Which one will it be?
It's you.
It is me. Time to ruin this podcast. Oh, just bonked my head against the microphone. Oh,
if you're not tuning into the video version of this podcast, you are missing out.
One person's watching. I'm not quite sure who
excellent.
That is.
One person's watching live.
Might be Jim.
Hi, Jim. Yeah.
Hi, Jim. Best regards to Captain Dunsell. I know that. I know it. All right. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek.
Oh, my God.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it, and here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right, Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL, the 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve a pay in Spanish,
oh my God.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh, my God.